Before we go to prayer, I would like to mention a couple of things to you from the prayer focus. You are probably aware of some of this anyway, but Barb Tollefson's name is on there, and Barb has gone on to be with the Lord. And so remember that family. And also in the lower right, you see the Flansburgh / Nelson twins. Those premature babies were born at 25 weeks. One of those has passed. And so pray for these families. And you can see the rest of the names on the prayer focus. Please remember to pray for all of these situations. There are many, and the Lord knows about them. And I believe that God hears our prayers. And so please, in your prayer lives, remember these on the prayer focus too. Let's pray together now. Father, we love you. How desperate we need you. How desperately we do. And we have gathered this morning, Heavenly Father, to praise you. Yes, to remember some graduates and say thank you for their accomplishments, and to pray a prayer of blessing over them at the end. But we have come together to worship you, the living God. And so, Father, as we have gathered today, there is heaviness on our hearts because of, again, a number in our communities associated with our church and other churches and just in our community have passed on. We pray for those families and ask that you would continue to comfort them and draw them unto yourself. Continue to guide and direct in this journey we call life. While many are celebrating the joys of graduation from high school or post-secondary, many among us are suffering the loss of their family. And so, Father, we pray for each and every one, whether they're filled with joy these days or whether they are filled with sorrow. We pray for each and every one and ask that your will would be done. I do pray, Heavenly Father, for all the names on our prayer focus, and perhaps more should be. We lift them up to you and ask for intervention of the divine kind. Where healing is necessary, Father, we would ask that you grant healing. Where encouragement and strength is needed, Father, we would ask for that. Where wisdom and direction is needed, Father, we would pray that you would grant wisdom and direction. Where comfort is needed, Father, we pray for comfort. And perhaps, Lord, above all else, where salvation is still needed, across our land, in our churches, in our homes, and across our land, where salvation in Jesus Christ is still needed, Father, we pray that by the Holy Spirit of God, you would meet people where they're at, speak to their hearts, speak to their minds, call them unto yourself, and we would find our place. We would find ourselves in that place of surrendering completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as churches have gathered all over our community, these communities around us, this region and America, may your will be done. May you be glorified. Guide us, we pray, as we worship you and celebrate with some graduates. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are going on today with our series. I have called this, from the words of Jesus, Follow Me. And this part two of this series I have entitled, subtitle, What is Truth? And so let me just say this before I get any further into some scripture, again from John. And the idea of what is truth, let me just say this to graduates and students, and really all of us could be in this place, but particularly graduates are at a crossroads. They're at a crossroads in life where things will change, okay? No longer the school and the comforts of perhaps home, but they're at a crossroads, you graduates. And when we find, and you've been at crossroads before, you've had to make decisions. But when we find ourselves in this major crossroads, it is vitally important that we choose. Am I going to follow Jesus? Or am I going to follow the world? Now, I'm not just speaking to graduates, but this is a vitally, vitally important time for our graduates. Because they find themselves at this crossroads, no longer high school, on to the services, on to work, on to post-secondary, perhaps on to raising their family in some cases. But we're at a crossroads when we find ourselves at this point in life. Will I, at this crossroads, passionately and surrenderedly follow Jesus? Or will I follow something else? And that is really for all of us to contemplate for a moment. Okay, I mentioned to you a couple of articles last week. Why? To help us understand that the world about us is going in a different direction than Jesus. Do you remember the Sermon on the Mount, brothers and sisters, when Jesus talked about the broad road that leads to destruction? Do you remember that? And the narrow road that leads to life. And he said, few are finding the narrow road. And many, he says, are on the broad road. There's a wide old gate, there's a broad road, and many are on that road. Jesus said that. And so we find ourselves on this road to life. And I mention these things, these articles, these headlines, because there's a broad road that will, if we're not very careful and very aware, lead us astray, lead us away from Jesus. And Jesus' invitation has not changed to humanity and to us. Follow me, he said. And so I bring to you another headline this morning to make us ponder for a moment. What am I going to do with this crossroads? Here's the article I'm going to mention today, and all I'm going to do is mention the title. That'll be enough. This article is in the USA Today magazine, by the way. The author of this title is a former / retired pastor by the name of Oliver Thomas. It's in the USA Today. You can read it. And I simply point this out to indicate to you we're going to have to choose. Here's the article. Pastor, retired, Oliver Thomas said in the USA Today, and I quote, "The Christian church has failed in two main areas." I'm only going to mention one. First, it has failed in our mistake on believing the Bible is true and we should take it literally, end quote. This is a pastor speaking to USA Today, saying that we've blown it in the church because we took the Bible as real. Do you hear me this morning, brothers and sisters? You and I, at some point, are going to have to decide if this is real or not. We're going to have to decide whether we're graduating seniors, heading off to college, heading off to the services, heading off to work, or doing whatever we're going to do, or we're somewhere along the pathway of life, we are going to have to decide if this is real. Now, if we read articles like that from former pastor Oliver Thomas in the USA Today that says we are wrong because we took this to be true and literal, we're going to have to decide, is he right or is he not? And I suggest to us the way we're going to find out that, friends, is to spend some time in the book. Follow me is the invitation of Jesus to humanity. All of us, he bids us, come, follow me. And when we do, if we do, the challenge, as he said to Peter last week from the scripture we looked at, is the same. In life and in death and in all circumstances, will we follow him? I said this last week, friends, I'll say it again. We're going to have to decide. We're going to have to decide if we're going to be his followers, regardless of how many are on the broad road, regardless of what my instructors say or my commanding officers say or sometimes what my family says or what the USA Today article says, we are going to have to decide, am I going to follow Christ? I try not to be critical of pastors and their statements, but according to what I read, and I have been reading for a long time, that pastor's wrong. When he says, you cannot take this literally, we got it all wrong when we did, I take objection to that, and I would suggest the pastor is wrong. The world, friends, is enticing. The world seems attractive. That broad road that Jesus speaks about in the Sermon on the Mount that leads to destruction looks pleasant and pleasurable. And the enemy of our souls will say to us, sin is pleasurable, at least for a moment. But the Bible says in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. And we will have to decide, am I going to follow Jesus or am I going to follow the world? Today we are going to recognize some seniors. I don't know how many are at this service. I don't know how many will be at the second service, but I'm glad there's seniors and students with us today. We're going to recognize those graduates. And so I want to speak to them just a little bit, but really I'm speaking to all of us. Will I follow Jesus or will I follow the world? And then in the subcategory of that, will I accept his truth? That's a big decision. That's a big question. Because a whole lot of folks in a whole lot of places are saying truth is what you make it, or truth is what the majority says. We are going to have to decide what is truth. John 18, really briefly, 4 or 5 verses there. John 18, 34 to 38, you know the story. It is crucifixion day. Jesus has been to the Sanhedrin. He has been chastened, rebuked and condemned in their world, but they need Pilate to kill him, so they bring Jesus to Pilate, and Jesus and Pilate are having this conversation. I will pick it up at verse 34, John 18. Jesus answered him, he's speaking to Pilate because Pilate has spoke to him. Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? And Pilate then answered him, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Then Jesus answered him, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, listen to what he said now. To Pilate, he said, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. He's going to the cross and he's telling Pilate, for this cause I was born. I was born for this moment. But look at else what he says. I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Somebody, someplace, in all of humanity needs to establish the truth. And Jesus says very clearly to Pilate, that day I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Then he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And you will be asked the same thing in life. Students and older folks and everywhere in between, you will be asked to consider what is truth. Is it what the majority says? If 51% says, well, I'm going to go along with this, does that make it truth? Is it a new government law that goes through the halls of Congress and through the Senate? Is that become truth? Is it what my college professor says, or my teacher, or my sometimes pastor? I'm going to have to determine, as Pilate asked, what is truth? Last week after the second service, a young person comes up to me and said, and I really don't think she was trying to be facetious. I think she was actually being honest and really wondering. She said, if I can't see Jesus, I was talking about follow Jesus, those of you that are here remember. If I can't see Jesus, how am I going to follow him? Well, I thought that's an interesting question with a very, to me, solid and somewhat simple answer. His word is truth. Amen? Jesus is the one that said that. And I said to her very simply, his word is how I discern how to follow Jesus. His word. If I read nothing else, I've said this before, but if I read nothing else but the red letters in the red letter edition, I will get to understand who is Jesus. Why did he come? What do I need to do about it? What is truth? His word is truth. And so I implore us, brothers and sisters, graduates and all the rest, we're going to have to ask ourselves, and we are eventually going to have to decide the same question that Pilate asked Jesus that day, what is the truth? How do I determine the truth? Like I said before, is it just because the majority says this is truth? Does that make it true? If the majority says it's true, brothers and sisters, and it goes against this, I would suggest it's still not true. And even when pastors say we had it all wrong when we thought this was literal and we should have taken it, we have to decide, what is truth? Is the Word of God true? And if it's true, what am I going to do about it? God's not dead. You saw the movie? There's several of them. That first one, and all of them probably, is based on happenings that are real. Some of you graduates, and perhaps you've, if you've taken a stand for Jesus, perhaps you've already discovered there's opposition to that. And some of our students, when we get to post-secondary education, if we take a stand for Jesus, you will discover there are professors that are opposed to that. Just like the first movie in God's Not Dead. You are going to have to determine whether you're a college student or whether you're my age. We're going to have to determine what is the truth. Where do I find the truth? If I am going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to decide if he is truth. He said he was. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. He said, his word is truth. We are going to have to decide, in spite of opposition, what is the truth? I've said this a lot of times, friends, and I don't mean to belittle the fact, but I'll say it once more. We're never going to know the will of God if we don't know what's in the Word of God. We're never going to know what the truth is per the truth giver if we don't know what's in here. We will never know the truth from God if we are ignorant or unaware of what's in here. I still believe there is absolute truth. I still believe there is absolute right and wrong. I still base what is the truth on what the book says. I still believe that God had it right in the beginning. I still believe that when Jesus said all those times in the New Testament, I tell you the truth, I believe he's right. But we are going to have to decide. We're going to have to decide what is truth. I know the argument, friends. I get it, because I've had the conversation with all kinds of people. All kinds of folks have said, that's just another book. All kinds of people have said, and I love, I don't love, I get a kick out of what the Bob Brown tells me. One of his teachers told him one time, or somebody told him, yeah, but that Bible, that don't deal in facts. That's what we're going to have to decide. Does this deal in facts? Is this truth? We're going to have to decide that. And let me say again, not trying intentionally to disagree with pastors or college professors or anybody else, but those that would say it's a mistake to believe in the Bible, it's a mistake to follow after this God, those that would say it's a mistake to take his word literally, those people, whatever their calling or title, those that would say it's a mistake to follow this, I believe, are wrong. And if you just subscribe to, well, this is just another book, friends, let me just say, no, it's not. This is the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and been proven by people like Josh McDowell and his Evidence That Demands a Verdict book, and Lee Strobel and his The Case for Christ. They've done the legwork. If you don't have the time to do all that research, they've done the legwork to prove this is true, as have others. And you can go that route, or you can simply take it by faith, because Jesus said, my word is truth. So back to my point, graduates. We're going to have to decide what is the truth. Let me throw this out there before I wrap up here. Have you noticed in America lately, friends, that we seem to have a problem with telling other than the truth? We call that lying. Have you noticed that, brothers and sisters? We have a problem with that. I don't know if this is a new phenomenon. I know that sometimes when I was a kid, and I suppose when we see it in other children, we have this natural tendency. Little Johnny, did you take that cookie? No, I didn't take the cookie. I suppose we have that natural tendency to speak other than the truth. But even as adults in America today, whether it's the highest forms of government or in the church or someplace in between, we have a problem, seems like, speaking the truth. It's called lying. As a matter of fact, in commandment number 9, Jesus addressed that when he said, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, stop the lying. And I think it's in Proverbs 6. There's a few things that God hates, and one of them is a lying tongue. And then there's that word in Revelation 21:8 that's really quite clear when it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone. That's pretty serious. And I simply throw this in there because we have to decide. And sometimes it's hard to discern between a lie and the truth. But God takes lying very seriously. He hates it, Proverbs says. He said to us in his commands, don't do it. And John wrote in Revelation 28:8, all liars will have their place in the fiery pit. I simply make that contrast between, am I going to subscribe to the truth or to a lie? Let me say this too. I've said it before, but let me say it again. Either we take all of this as truth, or we take none of it. We cannot pick and choose. Well, I don't like that part, Jim. Well, that part don't seem to be relevant in the 21st century. Either we take all of the Word of God or we throw it all out. I suggest to us, whether we're graduates, whether we will graduate in the next year or two, or whether we graduate like I did so many decades ago I can't even remember it, I suggest that we take all of it as the truth and the Word of God. Am I going to follow Jesus in college? Am I going to follow Jesus at the workplace when the rest of them aren't? Am I going to follow Jesus in my home or the military? Am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to stick to His truth no matter what life hands me? No matter what opposition I face on that broad road, if the broad road has got this strong torrent like a river, like a flooded river in the banks, if that torrent is ready to sweep me away, am I going to stand on the truth of Jesus and His Word? And so I ask us this morning, students and other than students, am I going to follow Jesus? And if I haven't decided that yet, friends, it's time. It's time to decide. And I haven't done the research. You can say, I haven't done all the research, but I've read enough of the book that it's time for me to decide I'm going to follow Jesus. I need to repent, he said. I need to confess my sin, he said. After all, Jesus died for my sin. That's taken care of. Hallelujah. But I need to confess that. I need to repent of that. I need to believe he is the Savior, and I need to receive him by faith and say, in essence, Lord, take over. And so if we haven't decided, friends, if I'm going to follow Jesus, that's the first step. I'm going to have to decide, am I going to follow Jesus? And I'm going to have to decide if His Word is true. Because if His Word is true, it begins to be my atlas, my map, my roadmap for life. And second, as I just said, will I hold this in highest regard, regardless of what everybody else is saying? I have to establish, I have to determine, is there an absolute truth yet in the 21st century? And if there is, where does it come from? I suggest to us it comes from the author of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, my word is truth. I suggest that we will find the truth in the words in the pages of the Word of God. There's a huge divide going on in America right now. You've noticed that. There's a huge divide. And I mentioned this last week, the divide embraces what is right in my own eyes versus the truth. There's a huge divide in government, in school, and in churches. And we're going to have to decide, friends, am I going to trust Jesus? Am I going to follow him and his word? We're going to have to decide. And if you want to talk more about that, I'd love to visit with you about it. You youth leaders, Susie, Josh, Craig, you guys come on up here. Seniors that are here, please come up. We have something for you, and we want to pray over you. Not all of our seniors can be with us today in first or second service. We know that. But we wanted to give you a little snapshot of them. And I say some pretty cute kids. They've grown up now. And so your leaders have a little something for you. And then we're going to just pray over you seniors that are here today. So you go ahead. We're going to ask anybody else that wants to gather around these seniors, parents, friends, we're going to pray a prayer of blessing over them to close our service today. And so if you want to come around, lay hands on them, we're going to pray God's blessing upon them. There is cake in the foyer for us after that. As always, as Charles has mentioned, fellowship hall, there will be fellowship time up there. But we're going to pray a prayer of blessing over these seniors now, and then I'll ask Charles to dismiss us in prayer. God, our Father, thank you for these graduates. We have watched them grow. You knew them in their mother's womb. You have watched them grow to this point of being graduating seniors. And you know their days ahead. And we pray this morning, Almighty God, that you would walk with them, that your Spirit would lead them, that they would trust you completely, that they would love you fully, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and serve you no matter what, that they would recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and follow, always, always, always follow. And so guide them, Heavenly Father, we pray. As the Scripture just said on the big screen a moment ago, will you bless them and will you keep them and will you make your face to shine upon them? Will you grant them peace as they journey in this pathway called life? Use them as soldiers of the cross. Use them to do your bidding, O God. Help them to be so in love with you they love their neighbor as themselves. And whatever it is you have for them, help them to be successful at that, O Lord, we pray. To the glory of the living God, we thank you for them. Watch over them. Guide them. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.